Well, this morning, we're going to go back in our teaching. We're teaching on the subject, the prayer of faith. We were teaching about faith, but we're looking at the prayer of faith, and I've never taught this long on this, you know, specifically concerning this prayer, but the Lord has a lot of things He wants to say about this. One of the things is the Lord dealt with me and spoke to me about concerning this. In fact, He talked to me about it yesterday, is God wants you to have a prayer life that works. You need to understand this. Your prayer life and your getting answers to prayer, we're going to prove it scripturally, has a lot to do whether people will want God or not. You can sit around and talk about God and tell people, hey, you know, God's good, and how are these people? God answers prayer. Now, I've seen churches and they have outside on their thing, God answers prayer, and you go inside and they say, sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes. Now, I never heard it's so stupid in my life. They said, God answers prayer. That's all I've ever heard. God, you know, God could do whatever He wants. And they say, God answers prayer. Why bother praying if we don't know what's going to happen? I mean, what a waste of time. And the whole thing of it is we found and talked about last week, God wants us to have a fruitful prayer life. And a fruitful prayer life doesn't mean praying a lot. It means getting your prayers answered. Kenneth Hagin one time was asked a question, and he had talked about it. God came to him and said, now, how long should I pray? How long, you know, do you pray for something? He said, it isn't how long you pray. He said, I'll pray as long as I need to get the answer that I need. And see, you need to get that in your mind. When you're praying the prayer of faith, you don't pray the prayer of faith and it takes you 5 hours to do it. If you're spending 5 hours praying the prayer of faith, you just spent 4 hours and 59 minutes in unbelief. So just, you know, forget it. You don't have to pray. That isn't what the prayer of faith itself is. And we're talking about a specific type of prayer, and the prayer of faith deals with you asking God for the things that you desire or want. It's about you talking to God specifically. It's not about you asking what Cousin Harry wants or some other guy wants. You can't have your faith overriding other people. If we could, my words, we'd just get everybody, one person could get everybody they want what they wanted. Jesus couldn't even do that when He walked on the earth. He went to Nazareth and He could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. So Jesus couldn't override His faith on other people. And if you think you are, get a life. You're going to find out you're going to have a lot of wasted prayer life. Over the years, if I took amount of the times that people have come to me and say, I don't understand, I was praying for so-and-so and it didn't work. And I say, well, congratulations, you found out what don't work. And you wasted a lot of time to figure it out when you could have read the Bible, what it actually said. Instead, people put their own interpretations. Don't put your own interpretation on the Bible. Don't do that. Our foundational scriptures are from Mark 11:22-24. And it says, and Mark 11:22 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Have faith like God has. We have faith like God has. Well, God, through Jesus Christ, was God in the earth, but He wasn't operating as God, but He said this, and He didn't say anything the Father don't say, so we can say Mark 11:22-24 are directly from God telling us something. Jesus said this, for surely I say to you, whoever said to this mountain, be removed and be thou cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So we have a principle laid down here, and this principle is this. It's what you believe in your heart and don't doubt, and you say with your mouth, this is the principle of faith, what you say with your mouth, Jesus just said it will come to pass. He didn't say sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says no. That's all added by men. Men add those things on there to discourage you. Men listening to demonic spirits say those things, and demons turn around and discourage God's people from answered prayer. Now, those ministers don't think that the devil, they'd get mad at you if you told them the devil's talking through them. But he is. He's getting them to develop their own religious beliefs outside the Word of God, and they will swear they believe the Word of God. They swear they do. Well, I'm going to be what Jesus said. Now, Jesus said this. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, and Mark 11:24 is using the principle of faith, believing in your heart and saying with your mouth, and using it in prayer. That's what it is. It's using that same principle. So when we look at that principle, He said, therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask, the thing you're asking, what? Is you're believing in your heart and not doubting. It's the same principle. He's telling you how to use it. You're not doubting. And what does He say? What does He tell us? in here that we need to do. He's telling us this is, he said, believe you receive them, what, the things you ask for. You need to believe in your heart and not doubt that you receive them. At the time that you pray, not some other time. Not in the future when you see it, you know, praying, asking God for money. When the money shows up, I believe God answered my prayer. No, that's not faith. There's no faith involved in that, in the prayer of faith. There's no faith involved in that. We need to understand the principle. You got to believe in your heart at the time that you pray that you received it. Praise God. I prayed and asked for healing. I got it when I prayed. When you walk away from your praying the prayer of faith, you should be, there should be nothing on your mouth but thanking God that He healed you. There should be nothing else said from your mouth. You should never go around ever and say to other people, well, I'm praying and believing God. What are you praying about? If you believed you received it, why would you be praying about it? What would that purpose be? Are you asking again for something you said and lied and said you believed you received it? See, this is many people. Many people, they're like a guy going out and keeps digging the seed up, and wonders why the plant never lives. It can't. It's an impossibility. You can't do that. And this is the principle that's laid down in the prayer of faith. And the foundation of that. Now, there's further revelation that Jesus gives that we read concerning our prayer life of what we're supposed to do. Now, the authority to go to God, and we went over to John, the 16th chapter. I'm going to read these scriptures to us. The ones we already used. John 16, and verse starting at verse 22, Jesus speaking to His disciples. This is the night before He was taken and arrested, and then later crucified. He says, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, what He's talking about, there's going to be a resurrection. He's going to see Him again. He's going to die. He's going to come back. Now, He said, after this day of resurrection, He said, and in that day, you will ask Me nothing. In other words, you don't ask Me for anything anymore. You don't have to ask Me for anything anymore. We don't pray and ask Jesus for anything. We don't ask Him for stuff. Jesus just said so. Who's the authority? Is Jesus the authority? If Jesus said, you don't have to ask Me for anything. You know, the subject should end there. We don't need any more discussions on it. Any discussion beyond it is called unbelief. Jesus just laid it down. We don't ask Him. What did He say? Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give you. Jesus just made a declaration, a statement. I wondered if He lied. Because I'm really troubled by it, because He didn't add on to it. Sometimes the Father will say yes, sometimes the Father will say no. Sometimes He didn't add none of that on to it. Didn't add any of that on there. Jesus didn't know. Poor dumb Jesus. Poor God didn't even know. He's our Redeemer and He's so dumb, He didn't get it. He didn't hear half these preachers today. If He had only had the chance to sit under all this unbelief. No, Jesus said, in My name. Now you need to understand this. No more than you understand the authority of the name of Jesus is no further than your prayer life will go. See, that's why religions have people they call saints and everything else like that, is because of unbelief. They don't understand the authority of the name. Jesus just gave the disciples, He said, you guys are going to have the authority of My name, that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He'll give it to you. You know, the Father don't give it to you because you're a nice, good, wonderful person. Do you know that? For the Father, if you follow the principle of faith and you walk in it, now faith worketh by love. If you're not walking in love, it ain't God's problem. Your prayers don't get answered. That's your problems because you don't walk right. But we walk in love. You know, verse 25 talks about that. If you have a problem with somebody, you're supposed to go fix it before you pray. Usually we pray and find out things don't get working, and then we go want to go fix things. Don't waste your time. Get better, fix what has to be fixed. But we've been given the authority of the name of Jesus. The Father answers that prayer on the basis of my faith in that name, not on the basis of your performance. That's why people say, well, sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says no. Well, if that is true, then that principle would work in everything. It would work in salvation and everything. Sometimes God wouldn't save people. He don't want to save them. See, that principle would fall in every time. Why? Because the prayer of faith is the same every time. If sometimes He says yes and sometimes He says no, you can't put over salvational work every time. You can't throw it over there. Does this faith principle, and we talked about it, it's called the law of faith. There's a law of faith, and you follow the law works. The law of work, faith will work every time. If it doesn't work, I've learned to have enough sense to stop and say, if I'm taking a shot at the law of faith and it ain't working, there's nothing wrong with God and there's nothing wrong with the law. The only problem there could be is me or you. It's never God. If you ever try to tack over onto God, you have just changed the scriptures and you have promoted yourself above God, that you're more righteous and holy than He is, that He ain't being fair nor right because your prayer didn't get answered. Many Christians hold themselves above God. If it don't work, it's never God's fault. Never, 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 never. You got to come down to that. God changes not. He's not going to change. What He said in His Word will never change. When you and I leave this earth and everything is done and then turn around and come back here and we get a new heaven and earth after a 1,000-year reign of Christ here, and you know, the Word of God will never change through eternity. In heaven, you're going to find out the kingdom is going to operate off these same principles. You either learn them here or you're going to have to learn them there, because this is how the kingdom works. It will not change because God's Word never changes. The principles of the kingdom operate. These are the ones that God operates in. And He tells us, if you operate in my principles of what I laid out and how the kingdom works, you can bring heaven's power into the earth. This is how you do it. Heaven's power is brought into the earth when we agree that the Word's right and we're wrong. You'll never sit around and nothing ever works for you and then turn around and insist that you're right and you're some kind of great Christian. Admit it. You know, I must be a knucklehead. You know, I've been a knucklehead and so have you. So get over it. You know, you're not so wonderful. God's wonderful. In spite of us, He's good. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad. Well, that's the whole thing is faith about. You can't approach God on the basis of your great works. You're not going to get anything on the basis of that. You ain't going to get a hearing with God on the basis of your performance. Do you know Job never got a hearing before God on the basis of his performance until God straightened him out and God told him, I'm God, you're not. And Job was old. Job kept trying to approach God on his righteousness. Like most Christians do today. I approach God on the basis of His righteousness, the one He gave me, not mine. You ain't going nowhere in your faith approaching God on your goodness. We approach Him and we receive from Him on the basis of His goodness, His righteousness, His holiness. Hallelujah. If you got any holiness or you got any righteousness, it wasn't yours to begin with, so get over it. Religion is always developing its own righteousness and its own holiness. That's how it does it. It'll start producing its own laws to be good. You look so a certain way, dress a certain way, do a certain way, and then you're holy. You do this and you do this. You know, you have all these little things that you perform and you go along. And Lord, my Lord, the Spirit-filled people are loaded with this stuff too. Of all their things that they go along, start developing their own religious truths. Hallelujah. I like the Word because this is one thing is I love it because if I stay on the Word and stay in the Word, I stay on top. I don't get depressed. I don't get down and out. The Word keeps me on the top because I look at the Word of God because that's where the life's at. It's in the Word. It's in what His Word said. That's why I push so much about don't change His Word. Religious people change the Word. Listen to this verse 24. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. Jesus said, if you ask, you will receive. Does that sound, you won't, well, you won't. Sometimes He says yes. Sometimes He says no. Sometimes, you know, God. How do they get this stuff? Jesus said you will. How did you ever sit and wonder, why on earth, what's God doing? Things ain't working. What's God trying to work out in me? Faith. He wants to get you into faith. That's what He's trying to work out. Get you over where you actually believe the Word's true and quit looking at circumstances all the time. If you do, you'll end up with a smile on your face. If you don't smile much, I know this, you ain't got much faith. I'll tell you, faith will make you happy. Faith will get you where in the worst circumstances you'll think you're a victor. Faith will think the answer belongs to you when it don't look like nothing belongs to you. And you're walking around talking like you're a king when it looks like you're the pauper. That's faith. Acting like the Word of God's true, that's faith. Acting like what's going on around you is what's governing things is called unbelief. Because your actions are in line with your troubles. You keep acting out the trouble. You keep acting out. You keep talking about the trouble. You keep, oh yes, I'll tell you, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. A year later, it's still pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Hallelujah. Why not get a voice of victory? Hallelujah. Stand, you know the Word of God's true. The devil ain't running me over. Hallelujah. It's like people say, well, the devil's going to take over everything. That's an impossibility. He ain't taking over this dude. He ain't taking over everybody. Oh, I know he's going to take over a bunch of them, and even Christians, because they keep saying he is. Glory to God, he will. He'll run them down because they're calling it on. Hallelujah. Their faith is to get run over. Hallelujah. I ain't having no faith. I know trouble comes, but I ain't going to let it run me down. Dear God. Hallelujah. I ain't going to send out invitations. Dear Lord. People are sending out their trouble invitations to the devil all the time. Come and get me. Hallelujah. Good preaching, folks. Glory to God. Well, we looked at James and how James had... In operating in the areas of faith, the things James said, we're not going to go back into. Last week we were over in this, and I want to talk again because Jesus said this, John 15. Again, Jesus is speaking. Number one, Jesus is the number one author on these things concerning faith. There shouldn't be any question in a Christian mind once we know that Jesus said something. If you receive anything outside of that, that people say, you're on a road to trouble. You're on the road to religion and unbelief. That's what you're on. Now, Jesus said, we talked last week in John the 15th chapter, Jesus said this wonderful thing again. He said to the disciples, he said, you did not choose me, but I've chosen you and I've appointed you. And we talked about being chosen and appointed. One of the things we looked at was this fact of, or just the 12, were they, he talking about here. Number one, he's talking to his disciples that night. But we found out, went through the scriptures last week of what the Bible says about us being chosen. See, we're the chosen. Hallelujah. They ain't just the chosen. This stuff didn't just, well, you know, when the last apostle died, all this stuff quit. Well, if it quit, then I quit being a Christian and Jesus can go jump. I don't need to be reading this garbage and spending my time with it if it ain't going to work. I don't want to read a history lesson about what happened then that we can't have now. What are you going to learn in the history of the Bible if it don't work today? Nothing. And the same moron Christians will stand up and say, you know, we can learn from history. Why? You preach we can't. We ain't gonna get none of it. If we ain't gonna get any of it, let's all go home and forget it. Hallelujah. This stuff's real and true. It works in my life. I feel so sorry for all these people went to schools and colleges and everything else and can't even read and know what words mean. Today, education's a sign of ignorance. And that's terrible. It shouldn't be. Education at one time in this nation was something that was good. We've tainted it. Made morons out of people instead of educating them to be something. They don't even know what words mean. We got ministers that can't read words anymore. They say they don't. Oh, yeah, well, God, the Bible's the Word of God. And then say, well, you know, you can't have it. I mean, where are we? Hallelujah. Well, Jesus is talking and I'm listening. Remember about years ago they used to have that commercial, E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Hallelujah. Well, they didn't. E.F. Hutton went under. They listened. Hallelujah. But Jesus never went under. And when Jesus speaks, my ear is there. My ear is there. Jesus is there. Now, Jesus said this. Hallelujah. You not chose me, I've chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Now, what's the fruit? That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. That's the fruit. The fruit is answered prayer. Oh, God wants fruit in our lives. He wants us to feed the poor, do all this kind of stuff. You can't get your prayer answered. He ain't impressed, and nobody will be impressed with you either. Have we impressed the world by feeding them? Are they coming to Jesus because we're giving them lunch? No, we gave them lunch. Now they demand breakfast and supper. And you know what? We're trying to figure out how to do it. Because we love them so much. We're going to reach them. Oh my God, we're going to reach them. They're just going to love us so much. They hate Christianity and love our money. They hate Christianity and they love our money. It's good preaching. Answered prayer. Jesus said whatever you, concerning that. He's chosen you. God's chosen. You've been chosen for the purpose and appointed to this purpose. For a fruitful prayer life. That whatever you ask the Father, He said, in my name, whatever you ask, He may give you. You see, when we add words to add, I'm not going to add any words to it. That's true. Either Jesus is a liar or that's true. Is it true? It's true. He didn't throw anything out there to disciples and trying to discourage them. So today, it's always that but. You know, as I saw a thing was on a movie, and a guy came along and said to the guy, said to the other guy, he was telling him about this and how great he was and all this, and then he said, but. And the guy looked at him and said, yeah, all that stuff you said before was a big lie. As soon as you put but on the end of it, this is what you really think. And he's exactly right. That's what it is. When a person comes up to you and tells you a bunch of sweet things and then says, but, what they're doing is now we're going to talk of the truth. I've been lying to you, trying to get you just to listen to me to get what I want. Do you notice, and you read through, you'll never find Jesus did that stuff. He never put buts on the end of it. Only religion has the buts. And most of them act like a but. And they're living like a but. And they're walking like butts and talking like butts. See, we need to come in the light of the truth. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the truth. And to know the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm happy. I'm happy because, and what we're facing today and the things that are going on in our nation, I'll tell you, there's a lot of prayer that people do for our nation and for leaders is absolutely worthless. Because you can't be listening to junk all the time. You got to stand before God on the basis of the word. You can't pray for people. You want to kill them as quick as you can. You want them dead. You can't stand before God. You go to God because you're so upset about things that are going on and you're so mad, you know. Kumo and Emma up here, I'm going to tell you, I ain't going to stand before judgment and all the people they're killing. I feel sorry. His judgment in hell is going to be so awful. I don't care what he does in this earth and what he thinks he's going to get away with. But there's one, he's going to spend eternity in the lake of fire if he don't turn. I'm going to tell you, there is an accounting coming, and it's coming faster than people think. Many Christians don't realize how fast the accounting's coming. Many Christians, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin in 1950, many of my people, many, he said, will not be ready for my return. They're not going to be ready. Gee, I wonder what that meant. If they're all going to go, I don't care what you say. The Bible never gives you a guarantee just because one time you accepted Jesus, everything's going to be all right to the end. I can prove it through Scripture. That ain't true. Nothing gives you that idea. Well, I got saved once. Well, good luck. Why don't you live that way till Jesus comes? It'd be a good idea. See, we've moved away from these things, and people just think the sloppy grace today, this idea. You know, once you're saved, you're already saved. Now, I want you to think about it. If once you're saved, you're always saved, why don't we just directly preach it? And say, look, come and accept Jesus and go live any old way you want. If that's true, then that's the truth. Why would we ask people to live right if they don't have to? What's the point? I want to know. Would somebody please preach that one to me? I want to know why we want people to live right. There's no point to living right if you're once you're saved, you're always saved. Let's preach and ask people. Glad you're saved. You'll accept Jesus today. You can go and live any kind of life you want. Once you're saved, you're always saved. If that's the truth, then the church is the biggest liar on the face of the earth. The people who believe once saved are always saved are some of the biggest liars I've ever met. Because they don't preach it. Why don't we preach it and tell people? You accepted Jesus. No matter what you do now, you're all right. I feel sorry for dumb Apostle Paul. He didn't know that. He thought it was just okay to sin. He thought, you know, no, he didn't. He thought you're supposed to live right, walk right. See, we need to get some real changes in the body of Christ. There's one thing it is, there's no fear today of doing wrong. But yet doing wrong always produces wrong results. You can pray night and day for good, but if you keep doing wrong things, you know, you keep playing out in traffic in the middle of the road, you can pray to be safe, but eventually you're going to have tire tracks on you. And these people are so stupid. You know, I'm a Christian. I can just play out there around the devil and it's a, you know, and I'm trusting the Lord to take care of me while I'm living like hell. Yeah, I'll tell you what. We're just saying, well, good luck on that one. I'll tell you what. He's going to have your lunch. You let the front door open, he's going to be in bed with you tonight. That's the way it goes. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to look at another. Jesus said, again, a Jesus said. That's what we want to look at. It's what Jesus said. And this will help us concerning prayer. This will help us about prayer because Jesus wants you to have an answered prayer life. That's his whole point. He wants you to. He's given you the authority to use his name to get the Father God will then give you under the authority of that name whatever you ask for. He didn't put any things in there that said, oh, hold it. If you use my name and the Father, you know, he got out of the wrong side of the bed today and he's not as happy as he normally is. And today he's not answering prayer. Maybe next week he'll start again. You know, and, you did this terrible thing. And, you know, don't matter if you repent too bad. Anyhow, he wants you to suffer a while. None of that's in scripture, but it's preached nonetheless. And it's implied in its idea. And that's why people, when they miss the mark, They instead of going to God, going boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace, Christians spent months and years on end staying away from God because of their guilt. And the church the church can preach some guilt on you. Man, they'll preach to you to stay away from God. I was a kid growing up, man, a plain church, and man, I'm gonna tell you, they did. Man, I didn't know if anybody in church was gonna make it. The way they preached, my God, we all had to get perfect on the things. And, you know, God was writing down, oh, he's keeping a track on everything that you're doing. And I used to think, my God, he ain't got time with nobody else. I was doing so much stuff. He was just busy writing me down. He's up there going, just writing, going to town up there. He was burning pencils up and pens. They didn't have those feather quills that had never held up. My God, I lived the stuff. I can sit here and I wouldn't go for the material. I can sit and tell the things I did in my life and stuff. Man, I could tell you a million stories living like hell. In one night, accepting Jesus Christ, that life was gone. Most people have never gotten over their sinful life. They have drugged their sinful life along with them. They have a dead body that they carry around with them, with their guilt and shame of the past. I have no guilt and shame of the past. That man's dead. He's gone. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's me. That guy's dead. I don't care what I did in the past. That's gone. That has no bearing on the answer of my prayer in this life. I know my father did get him over the thing. My dad, he lived a life much like mine. In fact, my dad was 30 years old when he accepted Christ. I accepted Christ the same age, 30 years old. My dad was a drunkard and things and stuff that he did. My dad lived a pretty hard life. He was quite a fighter. I mean, you know, he could knock them out, man. He was good at it. But my dad came along and he got saved. And one of the things is, you know, I heard him say in his later life, and I talked to him, and it was after I got born again, he made this mention about, he believed in God concerning healing, and he said, well, there's certain things, he said, I really abused my body and things that I did, and he said, I'm just going to have to live with that. And I said, Dad, hold it. And I talked to him, but that's what religion put, you know, you did these certain things, you know. You know, I did a lot of things. I destroyed my mind with drugs. I did things that absolutely, you know, ruin your mind, doing speed and doing all that kind of stuff. You know, you just burn your brain out, you know. Now, today, there's a lot of people, they ain't using drugs, but they done burned out their brain because they follow the things of the world and listen to the world all the time. Many Christians, they think like the world does, just ruining their brains. And walking around talking about, well, you get older, you don't remember as well. You just get older and this is the way that it is. And you know what? They do. They set their own destiny, running their blab mouth. There's no place in Scripture tells you get older, you become a nut. You become a nut because you're a nut today saying dumb stuff. That's how you get to be a nut. You talk like a nut long enough, don't worry, it'll all show up. And everybody will say, boy, they're a nut. It don't surprise. You can talk into existence whatever you want. All things are possible to him that believeth. You can bring disaster on you so bad, you can't get out of it. It's good preaching, folks. It's good preaching. And see, getting over, saying the right thing. See, and I got over there when I realized that, man, that man of the past, he is gone. He's not around anymore. He's dead. That guy's dead. I can tell you what that dead man did. This dead man don't do that. When somebody gets saved and just wants to live and always live in the dead man life, I know they didn't get saved. When I got saved, I became changed because the guy that did all the nutty stuff, he died. Now, what I had to do was start renewing my mind, but I didn't have to renew concerning my spirit. My spirit was open to the Word of God, and I could put it in there, and my spirit wanted to follow that. But see, most people, they never renew their mind. They still live in the dead man in the past. People sit around and talk, well, you know, our family had this problem. I don't care what my family. I don't have my family problem. I don't belong to them. I ain't the creature that was born out of my family. That's who I am not. I don't have a cursed life. I don't care about my family's curses. I don't have no family curse. I'm in the family of God. There ain't no family of God cursed. Dear Lord. But see, we get over there. We just carry the dead man right over to the life light, and we put the light out in our own life. Living in darkness, walking in darkness, instead of believing the truth, we got our religious beliefs. A lot of that stuff's coming back again. See, every time a move of God starts, you have the knuckleheads start rising up and doing this thing. Because, you know, there's a real move of God dealing with deliverance. And now there's people bringing up the stupid stuff again. I hear coming back again, talking about the past and curses and all this kind of stuff. You always get the knuckleheads bringing that stuff. That's the devil bringing that stuff back to kill the move of God. To keep people bound. See, you had a curse. Your family always had... See, my dad was a drunkard. You know what? And he was a drunkard. You know, in our family, we had a bunch of drunks. But you know what? I ain't no drunk today. I didn't have to go to AA to get straight. Jesus Christ straightened me out all in one night. One night, Jesus Christ straightened me out. I don't care what curse of drunk... I don't care what drunk spirits are living in anybody in my family. They ain't living in me. I'm delivered from it, and you ain't going to hear me running around talking that stupid stuff. Well, you know, we got these problems because we had a family curse one time. You know, we got this family curse. Oh, my God, there's a devil in my family. Why? He's in you now. Dear God, he's done moved in. Hallelujah. You can't curse the blessed. It's in the Scriptures. God said you can't. You can't curse those he blessed. That night I accepted Jesus, I became the blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Made the devil's been mad ever since. Now, John 15, let's go over to John 15 again. Let's go back over. Jesus is talking, and I love when Jesus is talking. Hallelujah, because he'll tell us exactly what we need to do to line up concerning our prayer lives. He's going to tell us what to do so we can get answers. Listen to what he says. John 15, verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. Now notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, you ask what I desire. Oh, I don't want nothing God don't want me to have. Well, God don't want a car. You know that up in hand. You know, God don't drive cars. Did you know that? That means you can never ask for a car. And if he had one, his bumpers are black and probably the hubcaps too. So I don't know. Hey, I grew up around that stuff. You were, oh man, you were going to hell. You showed up in a car. If you, today, you show up with a nice pair of chrome wheels, dear God, you know you're going to hell. That's for sure. That's for sure. You were only allowed to desire, you know, certain things that were dark and dingy. That's what you're allowed to have. See, God is a God of light, and everybody's running around, won't wear no color. They're all wearing darkness like a devil. They dress in darkness. Now, I've got no idea people wear black, but the whole thing of it is the whole idea that blackness, black is holy. What on earth? Where did that come from? You can't find it from Scripture, but religion takes it. You know where that stuff started from? It started over in Europe because of the ungodly church over there and the thing that they were doing. Instead of people coming to the middle of the road, they went to the ditch on the other side and became as bad as the ones that were preaching the junk. And they preached their junk on this side. And it's the same way all the time. People won't come to the middle of the road and walk. They're always walking on a ditch on one side or a ditch on the other. See, we turn around and back in the 60s, the grace teaching started and the faith teaching started. And you got the people today who the religious people took it religiously and went over in this ditch. And then you got the people over here with the sloppy grace way over there. There's a balance that's in the middle. And they don't preach. They preach two extremes on either side. The balance is in the middle. It's the Word of God. But they leave it. They swear they preach the Word of God, but they don't. See, you get over in the ditch. See, he's trying to get out of the ditch over here. These people might have done wrong. You know, they got over there because people, what they would do in the churches, you know, were doing things that were wrong and that stuff concerning the people and you know, and all this kind of stuff. So they got over on this side. Well, see, they're doing all this and they're dressed fancy, so we're not going to, so they carry it over here. Now you can't. Well, that didn't make them any more holy. Just became another religious thing. They just did what they did in the opposite. They just flipped the thing over and call it holy now. See, people do that today. Don't become holy because I flipped something over and this guy's an extreme. You know, sometimes there's people in extremes in certain things, but there's certain things they're right about. Don't throw out what's right. Don't be a knucklehead. Well, what do they do? Everybody throws out, well, now we're going to start ourselves another religion. Where's Christianity? No, both of them call themselves Christians and none of them are. They're all living like the devil if I have their own religions. Have a little bit of Christianity in it. They got a little bit of God in it, but it's a bunch of junk. It's finding that path. It's finding that down the middle of the road. Hallelujah. The middle of the road is the faith road. And that's the only way you can stay in the center is faith. You cannot stay in the center any other way. Because faith in God's Word, you're going to have the Word. He says here to this, Jesus makes it say, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. You know, we read the words here. Jesus made the statement before, said will and shall. It was translated. There can be no more statement made in a direct way that is it could be made with which really gives you the idea. It can't be that it's not going to work. You couldn't use the word will or shall there if there was any other thing to it. He said he will. He said you shall. In other words, Jesus is just making a direct statement. This thing works if you do what I tell you to do. Now, we want to look at what he said to do. Now, he told us what to do. He said here, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. He said, you will ask what you desire. It shall be done of you. What? By my Father who is... But he says, by this my Father is glorified. God is glorified what? By you getting your prayer answered. How much is that preached? Oh, we got to do all this other stuff to glorify. They're always going through all this stuff to glorify God. You know, even getting over into things, people think, well, get the gifts of the Spirit glorifying God. Actually, the gifts of the Spirit, God working through people to deliver people who are in unbelief. That's what the gifts are needed for. The gifts aren't for the people of faith. If you're a person of faith, you can get any of that stuff, any healing or anything you want, any old time you want it. You don't need a gift of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are manifestations for people who can't hear, who need a word of wisdom, who need a word of knowledge. A person who needs a miracle, the church is supposed to be able to agree together and get anything you want. That's what it says. You can do that any time. We don't have to wait for a special gift to come. See, we talk about glorifying God. God wants glory in the church by the church being a people of faith and producing in their life, living the life of faith. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin he never put the gifts of the Spirit in the church for the church. They're for the church to reach the world. He said the church is supposed to walk in health. That's what Jesus said. The church is supposed to walk in health by faith in the Word. Jesus told him that. Today we want gifts of healing in the church, trying to heal the unbelieving church. The reason the church don't believe, they don't come back to the Word of God and say, God said your prayer. Jesus said your prayer will be answered. My Father is glorified. Do you think God saying no, does that glorify Him that your prayer don't get answered? He Here, Jesus is specifically telling us, God's glorified when He's able to answer your prayer. He is glorified in that. Jesus is telling us how to glorify the Father here. You want to glorify God? Listen to this. Listen to what He says. You want to glorify God? If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, then you'll ask what you will, what you desire, and it's going to be done for you. Now He says this. Now, if we abide in Him, what does that mean to abide in Him? Well, the word abide means to live or to dwell. You know, you could translate it to live in Him. Number one, are you in Him? See this, we got to, if the qualifications are there, we got to find if we get the qualifications. You have to have the qualifications, right? So He's telling us, am I in Him? Well, that's, we have to look at the Scriptures and find out. Are we in Him? Now I want you to see what the Scripture says concerning Him. Abiding in Him or living in Him. Listen here. In 2 Corinthians, and this, I've been saying this, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 and 18 says this. Therefore, if anyone is what? In Christ. Jesus said, if you abide in Me, He said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, see, being born again, you're in Christ. He said, if you abide in Me, all things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. Isn't that interesting? Well, I still got the devil on with me. I'll tell you what. All things are of God. Oh, I'm sorry, I got a family curse. You just don't know how bad things have been getting. No. Now all things are of God. What? Who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. What has He done? He's reconciled. The reconciliation is just, amounts to this. God was at odds or an enemy of man. And man was an enemy of God. Through Jesus Christ, God has reconciled, or God is no longer the enemy of man. Man, I was born and raised that God was still mad at everybody. God is not the enemy of man. We have received reconciliation. God is not mad at the sinner. God is not mad at Pelosi. Do you know? God is not her enemy. God is not Chuck Schumer's enemy. Do you know that? He's not. Only in the church do they believe that. God reconciled, the Bible says, the world to Himself. Now, listen to this. There'll be some good Now, all things are God. It has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What He's given that to you? So we have the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to think about that. We were given the ministry of reconciliation. I want to read this to you. Verse 19 says, that is, now listen, that is what? That God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. What did He say? Is He reconciling Christians to Himself? The world. To Himself, not imputing their trespasses passes to them. Do you know what it means, not imputing? He's not holding them against them. Do you know that God's not holding the sinner's sin against Him? Do you know that? I'm just reading out of the Bible. Oh, we got a lot of religious beliefs. I'm reading out of the Bible. God, right, they say, I wonder, well, Paul may have lied. Probably had a little too much wine. Probably what happened here. And He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. That says, now then, we are ambassadors of Christ as though God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What is the reconciliation? God is already as reconciled to people as He ever going to be. He's completely reconciled. Jesus took the sin of the world. Nobody goes to hell because of their sin. People go to hell because they haven't received a Savior. They aren't walking in faith with Jesus Christ. People don't go to hell because God's holding sin against anybody. We don't preach the gospel today. It's not preached very often. We talk about preaching the gospel. It's almost never preached. The gospel to the sinner is this. God's not holding sin against you. He's calling you to come to Him. We tell, oh my, He won't forgive. If you don't ask Him to forgive your sin. Oh, we throw that out there. A nice lie from the Bible. what we call Bible, but it ain't in the Bible. It's man's gospel. Tell the world, you know, God ain't your enemy. God's not against you. Well, if God wasn't my enemy when I was a sinner, do you think he became my enemy when I got saved? Do you think he's mad at me now? God, he reconciled himself to me when I was ugly and didn't want him. I lived for 30 years cursing God. And he's there. I'm not holding against that idiot. I love him no matter. I forgave his sin 2,000 years ago. His sins were already forgiven. Oh, you can't get saved unless you get your sins forgiven. Understand this. The Catholics are no dumber than the Protestants. The Protestants are just as religious and stupid as any group. Folks, it's good preaching. But see, that's why you go to the Bible, because the Bible's the place where the truth is. And you don't add to it and you don't take away from it. If you just read what it says, it answers the questions. It answers the questions. If God didn't hold my sin against me as a sinner, how does he view me today? I'm on his side. I like him. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes... When you come to the truth, what does the scripture say? To know the truth will make you free. Truth don't make you free unless you know it. I don't care if you can quote it, but you don't know what's... People quote the scripture and have no clue what it even means. People pull part of this scripture out and say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. They just pull that out. Read the rest of it, it'll change your doctrine. Read the rest of it. My job is to tell the world God's not holding our sin against them. Most major evangelists today, I would be preaching crosswise to what they preach if I preached it. And they call themselves preachers preaching the gospel. God's not holding it against us. I don't need to ask God to forgive me. I need to receive my forgiveness. I need to receive Jesus. He's the forgiveness of my sin. That's what I need to do. I need to accept the one who went through all he did so God wouldn't be my enemy. Jesus is about getting into heaven. It ain't about sin. Did Jesus die for the sin of the world? Well, if he didn't, let's get down and get honest about this. If he didn't, I guess all that's been a lie all this time. The church has preached like that's been a lie. It's not been true. He hasn't taken the sin of the world because God's still holding it against him. Paul brought a revelation that most of the church today, it's been here all the time. We quote spots of it where we like it. This is why we have very little contextual preaching and teaching today that's in line with the Word of God. People pull scriptures out and preach what they want out of it. When you bring it out and look at it in its truth, it's like, woo-hoo! God, it's so good! See, it's what makes it. See, this is why. Man, I could ask what I desire. Why? God likes me. My God, he liked me when I was a sinner. He wasn't against me. He liked me. He didn't want me to go to hell. He wasn't trying to send me no place. I was doing everything I could to get there. I was trying hard to get there. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Glory to God. God, through his great grace, saved me. But we read last week talking about being in Christ because, see, he said we need to abide in him. Remember, last week we read these scriptures, but in Ephesians 1:4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. See, we're abiding in him. That's where we're at. We're in Christ. We're in there. See, that's what the believer is. We receive Jesus Christ, and today you're in him. You're abiding. That's what you're living at, is in him. You're in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians 1:7 says, in him what? We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Verse 11 says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Look what he says to the believer. We're talking about getting answered prayer. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. Listen what Paul read. Now, you got to understand this. The church at Corinth, Paul said to them, you're not spiritual, you're carnal. I can't speak to you as spiritual. He said this to them. I can't talk to you as spiritual people. I got to talk to you as carnal people. In other words, they're a bunch of backslidden buzzards. They ain't living right. Paul didn't write to them and said, boy, you old ugly things, you're probably all going to hell for sure. Listen what Paul wrote to them in chapter 1 and verse 20. Now this is what he says to them. This is about answered prayer, folks. This either becomes real or true to you or not. Verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God in him," in Christ. Are you in Christ? In all the promises, everything that the Bible promised, I want you to understand this. People say, well, you know, this was for Israel in the Old Testament. If I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, then every promise that God made in the Old Testament belongs to me. I'm redeemed from every curse of it. He never said I'm redeemed from any blessings of it. The New Testament, Paul said that the people of faith are the true Israel. We're the Israel of God, the people who are saved. We're the people of faith. We're like Abraham. Listen, they're asking amen. What? Yes? What? And in him, amen. In other words, every promise God said is a yes. Everything he promised. He said to you, it's a yes. You're a believer. It's a yes. He says, and in him, amen. What? To the glory of God through him. This is what brings glory to God. The promises belong to you. Those promises are yours, every one of them. And you getting those promises glorifies him. Is he trying to stop prayer life? Is he trying to say no as often as he can? Is he trying to say maybe as often as he can? Maybe say no later. You can, not now. Is that what he's trying to do? I want you to understand this, and you need to tell sinners this, people who haven't accepted Christ. I'm so tired of hearing Christians say, well, you know, you just need to pray. Say to sinners, you need to pray and talk to God. A sinner has no place in the covenant from the standpoint of a surety of no answered prayers other than to receive Jesus Christ. He has no surety or confidence. Understand, this promise is what in him. You're in him, therefore every promise belongs to you. If you are not saved, none of the promises belong to an individual who is not saved. They are only the ones that are in him. It says it here. In him. For all the promises of God in him. In Christ. That's what we are. In Christ. Those promises are for us. For sinners, they are not. No sinner can guarantee any answer to prayer to a promise of God. Why? He doesn't have a covenant right to have that. He hasn't entered into him. He's not in Christ. The promises are assured to you and me. They're yes and they're amen in Christ Jesus. They're assured to you and I. They're assured and they bring glory to God. What good would a God do to answer the sinner's prayers and just answer all the sinner's prayers whether they accept him or not? If they got all the blessing of God, they wouldn't receive Christ. They'll end up in hell anyhow. What good would that do? I'll tell you what, I saw that jump back in the 1980s started coming in where the sinners, you know, and they're starting to teach the sinners. You know, that's one of the things was a great failure of, what was that place that there's that one selling, you know, soap products and all that kind of stuff. And they were Amway. That was a great failure, Amway. Amway became God is money. And they started taking the sinners and started giving the sinners the principles of God and started telling, yeah, you should come over here and do this and God will bless you. And it turned around and ended up being a curse. God will bless you and you can still live like hell and do what you want. And God's going to bless you. I saw that stuff coming. I saw that stuff coming, and all the Christians are jumping into this thing, and I thought, this thing ain't looks good for a time. It'll run for a time. It's like anything. You get it in motion. It'll go. You know, you get a car run down the road, and you're going 70 miles an hour, and the engine shuts off. You'll coast for a while. But that don't make the engine start. And I knew their car was going to run out of gas, and it was going to do it big. And it did. Love of money is the root of all evil. Money can't be the top of the list for anything. He said, if you abide in him, and then he said, his words abide in you. See, you got to get the word of God in you. This is why it's only in line. Jesus taught, what did he say? You got to believe in your heart and not doubt. You got to get the word of God in your heart where you don't doubt. See, the word of God must abide in you. It isn't enough to have Jesus in you. You got to get his words in you. That's why I'm just going over so much with these words of what Jesus said. You need to get this in you. If you're just listening to this on Sunday here and that's it and you go home all week and just whatever, you need to get it in you. Get these scriptures out. If you're not doing it, you're missing it. I'm just telling you, you're missing it. You get them into you. You're not going to have a successful prayer life just, you know, hearing every once in a while on a Sunday somebody talk about this stuff. You got to get it in you. These scriptures over time, I got them in me. Hallelujah. And if I come to, I don't pray and ask for stuff till I stop and get myself ready to release my faith. This is why most people, you'll have a lot of faith failures because of your needs. you will turn around and be moved by your need than faith. I'm not going to make a confession till I'm ready to make the confession. When I make my confession, it's from my heart and it's coming to pass. It will happen to me. See, you can pray 10 weeks ahead of me, but I'll have it before you, because you'll pray 20 times in between trying to get it. But I will say it one time by faith and it'll come to me. No word does it tell us if you make 47 confessions of it, then it's going to happen. When you speak something out of your heart and you don't doubt, it's already in motion to come to pass. The only reason we should be making any kind of confession after that is just to maintain our faith. It's about us. It's about bringing it to pass. It's keeping us over the years of faith. And our confession would be, thank God, I believe I received that, so I have it. It belongs to me. Glory to God. I'm not trying to get it anymore. Hallelujah. It already belongs to me. It's mine. It's showing up. It has to show up. Why? Because I'm in faith. It's got to show up. It will. It'll show up. With faith and patience, I'll inherit the promise. See, I'm not making confessions of faith after that. My confession is I believe it's mine. I made my confession of faith that set that thing in motion. It's when that farmer put that seed in the ground out there. When he stuck that thing in the ground out there, that's all it took. Rain will hit that thing and it'll come up. That's just the way it's going to be. He don't go out there, well, let's go out next week and we're going to plant it again. We're going to plant it. That's the Christian church today. Let's go tear the ground up and go do it again and do it again, and let's call it faith. Let's call it believing and trusting God. Let's call it something. What do we call it? We'd say a farmer's insane. The church has been insane. There's been an insanity. There's a thing in the church that is, they call faith, which is total unbelief, called faith. Think if we pray a lot and get a whole bunch of people together to pray, then we'll make it work. You know, it's the gang prayer. Yes, if we get the gang prayer, all of our unbelief will go away and the things will happen, because we got a gang and we got a hold of God's arm, and now we got it twisted behind his back and he's going, okay, I'll give it to you, I'll give it to you. Okay, okay, okay. It's good preaching, Ed. I'll tell you what, I'm on target today. I'll tell you, I got it now. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. The more you get to pray, the more unbelief you got, you're going to get further away from God, not closer. We just pray a lot. We just do a lot. No, that ain't the way it works. One person in faith will override a million people in unbelief. I don't care how they gang up and what they pray. All the Muslims in the world can gang up and pray that I wouldn't get healed. Sorry. All it takes is my faith. God will move because of my faith. Not because of what the gang prays. Now you get yourself in trouble when you go ask the gang to pray for you and you don't know how they pray and what they believe. You should be just going just because somebody's a prayer, they have a prayer, they take prayer requests. Well, good luck. You may be putting a tombstone out there for yourself. Believe me, I know. I've ran into people. Major big television ministry. I ran into the head of their prayer thing. And I'll tell you what, that lady, I would have never asked her to pray for me about a hangnail. That woman was insane. She was asking me to pray for her about stuff, and I said, she's asking me, she runs a prayer team for a big ministry. Asked me to pray for her. At that time, I'd only been a Christian a little over 2 years. She's so messed up and squirrely, you just wouldn't believe it. And when she sat down and asked me what to pray for, I said, I can't pray for you for that. I said, it's outside of scriptures. I said, the Bible don't. I said, this is what the Bible says about that. That isn't what she wanted. And people, by the tens of thousands every day, send prayer requests into those people. Every day. It's like, once I met her, I decided, that ain't a place I'm sending a prayer request. I said, man, things are amazing out here, folks. We're living in an amazing world. It's amazing that God is so gracious and kind. You can be glad that I'm not God. Just be thankful. And I'm glad you're not either. We would have never been merciful so long to let this kind of nutty stuff happen. We would have never been. We would have called fire down a long time ago. That's right. We would have. Burn them up, Lord. I'll tell you. Just get rid of them. I'll tell you. It'll all get better. We burn them up. Hallelujah. But we're in Christ Jesus. Then he said to this number three, whatever you ask will be done. See, if we look up, if you accepted Jesus Christ, now get the word in you. So he's telling us, you get the word in you. That's the next thing you do. You get born again. Now your job is to get the word in you. That's your job. God's not going to do that for you. God don't get the word. God sent preachers and ministers and teachers out there, but he put the Holy Spirit in you as a teacher. The Holy Ghost is in you. There's things that you need to know and learn. You need to let him teach you. You need to get down, open up your Bible. You know, there's one thing, and let me just say this concerning your prayer life for personal prayer things. Learn to get a hold of things like, what is it that you need? What's one thing that you got to get straightened out right now? What's the thing? Make that become your target. Get in the word about promises that deal with that. You know, too many people are too, you know, like, they're like a shotgun, you know. They're like a shotgun and they're shooting. Now they're, and especially they're like, most Christians are like a sawed-off shotgun. You know, it just scatters pellets, you know, after it gets out there about 10, 15 feet, there's just pellets all over the place going places. There's no direction to it. It's one of the things as I learned as a young Christian is begin to focus. Focus on what's important. Number one, your health, you might need money at the time, but your health in the long run is more important than money. If you're focusing and listening to ministers all the time and just preach about money, you got a problem. The Lord told me, he said, number one thing he wanted for his people after they get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, number one thing he wanted them healed. That's what he wants. Get into his will instead of the will of men. Money will just fly out of your hands by the sicknesses you'll pay doctors to take care of. And you'll pay for insurance to get taken care of. You want to get over, you want to get over and get your health. You want to have your health. Lord said this to me. He said, if a person has their health, he said, they'll have money. He said, because they can work, they can earn money, they can do it. You don't have health, you lose money. That's what you do. See, things ought to come to your focus of what's most important on the list. See, healing is important to God. It's not as important to church. You know, we're satisfied with going and paying a doctor to give us some pills to take and never really get healed. People today in the church call getting healed as taking some pill for the rest of your life. That's being healed. People are satisfied with what the doctor can give them. I'm not against doctors. But I tell you, I don't want to take pills for the rest of my life. Maybe you do. Maybe you want to. Maybe that's your great desire. You're satisfied. Don't bother praying for healing if you're satisfied where you are. Don't pray for healing because you won't get it. Because you don't have that number one in your heart. It isn't there without any doubt. You're willing to take less. If you're willing to take less, you will have less. You're going to have what's in your heart. If your heart isn't really, if I don't have healing, I ain't making a move, I'm getting this thing. You see, that's one thing. When I was a young Christian, God started to show me about healing. I made a decision. I'm going to get after and learn this healing thing, and I am not moving on this thing till I get this thing working. I want to know how this thing works, and I am not going to be satisfied till I'm well. I'm not going to be satisfied till I know how to take a hold of sickness and disease. I'm not going to be satisfied. I'm not going to, well, this is okay, and maybe we can get it, and it's okay. I didn't do that. I decided its importance to be well, and I said, I'm going after this. I get this thing working. I want to have it working. I don't want sickness to dominate my family. I don't want the devil. You know, what's it good to even if you get well and your kids can't stay well? Who cares? If you can't get your kids healed and get things done, you ain't got much going for you anyhow. Because number one, I didn't want the devil on my wife or my kids. I'm going to tell you, the devil showed up in my wife or kids. He got a bigger fight than if he tried with me. You don't mess with my wife and kids. If you can't develop in faith, you have to keep things off them. You get yourself to the point where the devil knocks on your door, you put him out of your house. You put that stuff out of your house. You get to that place. We're not going to tolerate that here. Whatever you ask will be done. In my house, I'm called the king. I'm the ruler. Not the devil, not sickness, not something else. Health insurance ain't the ruler of my house. I ain't against health insurance. I'm not against it. But you make the ruler, you'll need to use it a lot. You'll have to have it. And not having health insurance ain't faith. Ain't no faith in not having health insurance. Ain't a bit of faith in that. You ain't going to stay well because you don't have health insurance. I got health insurance. Don't use it. But see, it ain't got a thing to do with it. Faith is what works. Not having or not having. Not having health insurance and your faith ain't working, you're going to wish you had health insurance because you ain't going to be able to pay the bills. If your faith ain't up to par, you better get some health insurance. Hey, this is wisdom. I've been around people doing that. I don't believe in doctors. I said, well, I got to tell you this, you're going to need one because you ain't faith with God. And faith, not having faith in doctors has nothing to do about God. Having faith for yourself to be healed ain't got nothing to do with it. I don't believe no doctor is my number one healer or anything like that. I appreciate what doctors can do because I'll tell you what, dead Christians would be piled up like logwood to burn if it weren't for doctors. There'd be so many dead Christians, dear Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us in our stupidity of what we call faith, which ain't faith at all. Hallelujah. But we got all these things, and we got them out there, and we throw them out there and that stuff. My faith is to be in the Word of God. My faith ain't in a doctor. Thank God for what a doctor can do. But that's not where my faith is at. I would never go to a doctor unless I was going to use my faith. Understand this? I don't trust the doctor. Then what are you going to him for, you liar? You know, you never sit in an office. I don't trust doctors. Then what? You're going against your own conscience to go to one. You're in sin. You know, that's like saying, well, I'm just going to keep my car. I ain't going to need a mechanic. I'm just going to never end it. Well, good luck. You know, faith can keep some things running for you, even like automobiles and doing stuff. You know how to use your faith. But then on the other hand, we don't just throw things out. People get over a lot of things they call faith. And it's not faith at all. It's not faith. You know, today, a lot of people, one of the reasons health problems, the thing the Lord dealt with me, all this diet stuff going on and all this stuff, people have such faith in their health foods and in their organic and all this kind of, people have it. And they're not in faith with God's Word. They think God can only heal within the boundaries of those things. I've watched this stuff come on starting back in the 1980s. I watched people slowly sliding away from the late 80s, start sliding away because the devil come into the church and started bringing diets in. And the devil said, and they said, God gave us this and God gave us that and we're going to be real healthy if we have this. How's that worked out in America? You can go to the supermarket and you can buy more organic food in a little bit today. And those, you know what? And I'll tell you what, and the people are just lined up at the doctor eating health food. Woo! Let's preach it, folks. I will tell you why people can't. You cannot mix those natural things over there with the divine and have the divine. If you could only get healed, you show me in Scripture where Jesus told somebody they had to eat a certain diet to get well. Did he say it? Anytime? Now you sure know that it should have been said somewhere along the line. Now come on. I'm sorry you didn't eat free-range chicken. You can't get healed. Your chicken was in a cage, I know it. Boy, I tell you, this stuff gets touchy, don't it? But I'm telling you, God may deal with you certain things about your health, but don't you go preach it to everybody. That's what they're doing all the time. God may tell you things that you're doing that are hurting you. It's one of the things the Lord did back years ago, and I used to do a lot of running, and because I ran, like 10 miles every day. And I'd go out every day and run 10 miles. And the Lord spoke to me one day and told me, just clear, I'm out running along. I knew it was inside of me, you need to take a vitamin with iron in it. And I thought, I knew it was God talking. He said it to me again. So I thought, I'll do that. I started taking that iron. Well, he's trying to show me something. Later on, I found out I went to give blood. I gave blood regularly. I'd do that. And I went to get blood, and the guy who was a Christian, who was a spirit-filled Christian, who was taking the blood, and he spoke to me first. He said, boy, your blood pressure, your pulse is really down. See, if somebody does a lot of running, when I'm in a sitting mode, my pulse would drop down to like 30. But there was nothing wrong with me. It's just, your body, because of all your running and stuff, the blood flows through really easy through your body. You don't have much trouble trying to get blood through your body. Because you're out there pumping a lot of blood through your veins are all working real good. Or you ain't running. You're laying along a road somewhere if it ain't. So anyhow, And he said to me, he said, when blood flows through, he asked me, he said, do you take a vitamin with iron? I said, yeah, I do. I said, it's really interesting. I said, like a few months ago, the Lord told me to take it. I said, so I started taking vitamin with iron. He said, that's good. He said, when you run, he said, your blood pumps through your body really fast. And he said, you're doing a lot of it. He said, your red corpuscles actually get damaged by flowing through fast through your body. But he said, if you take iron, he said, you'll never affect you. He said, because he said, it'll repair them just like that. He said, no. But if you don't have enough iron, you get into trouble. So the Lord was telling me something in the natural that I could do. But you know what? I didn't run around and preach that everybody had to take more iron. Most people today, they get a revelation from God about themselves and they write a book, and then everybody else is supposed to start doing all this stuff. And then we call it, you know, health food and health this and health that. And it's like the Lord spoke to me one day while I'm out running. I'm out running. And the Lord says, clear to me, out of the blue. Now, this, I always amaze this. God talks to me out there. I'm not home in prayer in a closet closed up and fasting 27 days. I'm just down running down the road, exercising. And the Lord said, there's no such thing as health food. And I'm, what? I mean, that ain't exactly what you're thinking about while you're running down the road. And when he first said it, I thought, this is weird. I thought, what is this? And I didn't say anything. I'm still moving along running. And it came up in me. There's no such thing as health food. And I knew it was coming up out of my spirit. I just thought, Lord, what on earth is this? No such thing as... He said, there's no such thing as health food. He said, if you there is, he said, you wouldn't have to sanctify it with thanksgiving and prayer and the Word of God. You see, God... There's no such thing as health food. God wants you to have faith in everything you're doing. He wants you to use your faith. Without faith, you can't please Him. People don't please God all the time in their eating because they don't eat with faith. I hear Christians saying, I shouldn't be eating this and I shouldn't be eating that. And they're saying these things and talking this junk and don't realize the whole time. They don't realize it. It's sin. Whatever isn't of faith is sin. Oh! You know, I don't have to pray over the organic chicken. Oh, no, it's a free range. We don't pray over that one. Boy, I sure do. Because I tell you what, number one, I don't know. They can put it on the package, but I don't know if it is organic or not. I wasn't there when they took it. I didn't see them grow it. I have to walk at what men put on things, and I'm sorry. I know what men are like. But above all, I know what God's like. He said, my food's sanctified by His word and the prayer of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. If I eat or drink any deadly thing, it ain't going to harm me. Hallelujah. That's from my faith. See, I eat by faith. See, you need to get over there. This is why you got to watch picking up the stuff that men say, and they say, well, I shouldn't be eating this, and I should, because there's a lot of nonsense, craziness out there, and the Christians are at the top of the list on this stuff. And they're pushing this stuff as Bible, and it's hurting people's faith. People are having more faith in what they're eating than who they're trusting eating that thing. I mean, one of the big epidemics we had with spinach was organic spinach. All the people getting sick, organic spinach. Don't mean something's tainted. Yeah, they do their best. Sometimes those producers do everything the best they can, but they ain't God and they ain't perfect. But our faith can be perfect toward God, hallelujah, and it'll protect us. It'll take care of us. And that's what you want to do. That's why I pray. And I go in a restaurant. I don't care who's there sees me pray or thinks anything they want. I'm going to tell you what. I don't get sick eating at restaurants. I don't get sick eating at restaurants. People do all the time. This boy don't. We sanctify it, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We get it straight right there. God, I'll tell you, my food is sanctified. That God has set it apart for me. Man may not have. I don't know what goes on in the kitchen at that place. I don't know. You know, I've never went on a mission trip. And I went mission trips. I went to places. And I'm going to tell you, the food, most of you wouldn't even have considered eating. But you got to do what you got to do there. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to go by faith. Never been sick. Never have had problems. I've known people that have had terrible problems. Come off a mission trip and sick for months on end. Why? Well, you got to watch it. Oh, make sure you got a lot of hand sanitizer. I'll tell you what. Oh, you touch people. As he did, touch people. Got hand. Jesus touched a leper. I lay hands on the sick. One of the most compassionate thing you can do to a sick person is touch him. You got to have your sanitizer and your glove on. Stay at home. Don't even go. Stay at home. Don't bring your ungodliness out there with other people and then fake the God thing. Stay home. I ain't got nothing in hand sanitizer. You know, it's not right. Wash your hands, fine. But that can't be the top of the list of nothing. And the sick, I'm going to tell you what, the devil ain't putting their stuff on me. We're getting it off of them. Say, oh, we're going to heal them and we can't keep it off of us. What kind of God is that one? We can't keep it off of us. John G. Lake walking around, people dying all around him of the plague. They send one of those medical ships from Europe down to South America where he was, and people are dying. And he's out there working among them, among the people. People are dying by the thousands and thousands of the plague. John G. Lake said, the plague can't live on me. And they said, what? He said, the plague germs get on me, they die. So they took him on board the ship and checked him out. The doctors checked him. And when they took the froth that was out of the person's mouth who was, people were dying, which was full of that bacteria and virus, they put it on his hand. They put it on a microscope. And when they would put them on his hand, they'd all die. Oh, he was special. He was so special. He was a special guy that God sent. No, John G. Lake believed the Bible. He just believed the Bible was true. God didn't send us out to heal the sick, and then we got to worry about getting sick. I don't have to worry about getting sick. I ain't going to live in that kind of fear. Because that fear will destroy faith. You can't be a person believing for healing and afraid of the sickness. See, these are things, you know, I didn't plan on talking none of this, but we're dealing in the subject of faith. We're talking about faith. People getting their prayers answered. You can understand why people don't get prayers answered. Many Christians are going to God on this basis. They want something, but they have no faith for it. They just want something because they're in a bad situation. I hate to see people in bad situations, but it doesn't change just because you want it. You got to get into faith. This is why you got to get the Word of God in you. You got to get it so you're sold out what Jesus said. Jesus said, if I ask the Father in His name, I'm going to have it. There shouldn't be another thought on the subject. We don't need a panel discussion like today. We need a round table. I'm sick of this. They called me and they asked me, you come and sit down at these round table and we're going to talk about the ministers getting together and talking about it. We don't need to talk about it. The Word has already been out. The God said what He said. My discussion means nothing unless I'm saying what He said. I don't want to hear anything else. I don't need to sit in a group of unbelieving preachers while they try to minimize what God says and say, you've got to be realistic. Yes, full of unbelief. That's realism today. That's realism in the church, being faithless. That's realism. You getting run over by the devil just like the sinner does. That's realism in the church today. The thief stealing, killing, and destroying. That's realism. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is realism. His words are eternal. His words change not. His words will do today what they did 2,000 years ago. His words change not. They'll produce the same thing today. Why? He said, my words are spirit and they're life. He never said anybody got sick by what He said. My words are spirit. You go into all the world and you preach this gospel. You go out and tell people God ain't mad at them. God wants them well. Tell them, He sent me out to lay hands on you and you'd get healed. That's what He sent me. Well, what if I lay hands on them and they don't get healed? Don't bother. You're already in unbelief, so don't even bother. What if? I do what the Bible says. I don't care what it looks like. My job ain't to bring things to pass. My job is to believe the Word, act like it's true, and go do it. We're always looking for somebody else to do it. We could just get Benny Hinn to come here. Then we'd really have healing. Boy, then we could really get something. No, it wouldn't. Unbelief ain't going to move His ministry. He ain't God, and he'd tell you that in a minute. The word's true to you just as true it is to him. He might have a different calling in his life, but he can't have the word more than you can. Hallelujah. Some people say, well, this guy got a healing ministry. Every Christian has a healing ministry. There's no such thing as a Christian without a healing ministry. We're all called in the name of Jesus under the authority of that name to lay hands on the sick. We can all do that. We don't need a special ministry. We don't need a special ministry to preach the gospel. It's easy to go tell people, you know, go tell God ain't, you know, God ain't mad at you. I'll tell you what, there's loads of sinners out here. I know how I was as a sinner. I thought because what I was preached to, the false gospel that I heard as a kid, I thought I might as well just sin as much as I want because God didn't like me anyhow. Because I'd been told enough by Christianity and their wonderful, wonderful gospel that God was holding my sin against me. And if I didn't get him to forgive me of my sin, I couldn't go to heaven. I had to get him to forgive me. Unscriptural. Nobody ever told me that 2,000 years ago, he took this knucklehead sin on himself. And he went down to hell and he paid the punishment and he rose from the dead and carried his blood into the holies of holies of heaven to set Ed free. Nobody ever told me that. They always told me that I'd get my sins forgiven so I could get saved. And if you didn't get your sins forgiven, totally ungospel, untrue, unscriptural. I got born again and I started looking at the scripture. I started listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching and I was astonished. I realized in my entire life I never heard the gospel preached. Never one time. I had never heard it ever preached. I can turn the TV on today and I can hear many people saying they're talking the gospel and they never talked the gospel one time. They never told it how good it is. They never really said how good God is and his love for humanity, that he looks out here at this sinner. Just everybody in this nation that's doing as evil as they can to do as much as they can to destroy this nation that are following the devil, every one of them, God's already forgiven their sin. Jesus already took their sin. God is not their enemy. Every one of them, God's not their enemy. They're their own enemy. They have made themselves an enemy of God, but they can change that. All they got to do is what? Receive the reconciliation. Receive it that God ain't against you. Receive it. That's what changes your life. Receive it. See, on the same level, receive your healing. That's in the reconciliation. Your healing's in the reconciliation. God's reconciled concerning healing. Healing's in the reconciliation. Receive it. Redeemed from the curse of the law, poverty, and every other ugly. It's all in the reconciliation. Jesus fixed all of that in his death and burial and resurrection. We're not trying to get that fixed. When you got born again, all of that was yours. Every bit of it was in the reconciliation. What we need to do is find out what's in the reconciliation and quit trying to earn it. You can't earn it. You can't earn the gift. You can't earn the righteousness. You can't earn the holiness. You can't earn the healing. You can't earn. You just receive it. Hallelujah. Why? It's in the reconciliation. My God. God reconciled the world to himself. And here you people are as Christians trying to get the reconciliation, trying to get the healing, trying to get some money, trying to get this, trying. I'm sorry. God already said it's yours. He's given it to you. Woo! He is so good. I'll tell you, I like that gospel. If someone would have preached that gospel to me a long time before, I'll tell you what, I'd have been following Jesus a long time ago in my life. My mama said this about me when I was a little child. And I'm talking about 3-4 years old. When I was 3 and 4 years old, if you ask me what I wanted to be when I grow up, I wanted to be a preacher. See, I'd heard all that nonsense. I mean, 3 and 4 years old, they put you in a nursery at church. They don't tell you all that knucklehead stuff until after you grow up a little bit. They don't tell you the nonsense till you get out. They don't put the heart up there and they say, you know, put your heart up there and Jesus just cleaned up your old dirty heart, you know. You had spots and what the blood does, Jesus came along and took some blood, put on it and scrubbed it real good. No, you got a new heart. They should have taken it. See, this old heart was dirty. It's gone. Here, this is what you got. Never told that once in my life. But when I was a little kid, this is what my mom said. When I was 5 years old, I wanted to accept Jesus. I talked to my mom about it. My mom thought I was too young to understand. And what happened was this. As I got older, they started teaching me religion. And I ended up hating God. But my mom said this. She said, you were different than all the other kids. I had 9 brothers and sisters. She said, you were different. She said, when you were little, she said, it was as if you knew Jesus personally. So you need to understand this about your children when they're tiny and little. They're not dead in sin. They don't have the consciousness of sin. Their spirits are still alive toward God. That's in the tender age when we should be preaching the truth. We don't. And if they'll tell you when you're a little kid, God's good, and then he's ugly when you get older. See, they do those things. No, God's good. God was alive and real to me. I can remember 9 years old when I died spiritually. 9 years old when I became consciousness of sin. And from that time on, my life started getting darker and darker and darker. My life started getting darker and darker. The knowledge of sin came. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans, the 7th chapter. The 7th chapter of Romans ain't about, well, we're Christians, but we still can't live right. That ain't what that's about at all. It's about Paul talking about when he was a sinner, when he was a kid, the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. I died spiritually. I wanted to do right, but I couldn't. I wanted to do right what I couldn't because sin now had a hold on me. And without Jesus Christ, that hold can't be broken. Jesus Christ is the only one. A counseling session does not break the hold of the devil over you. I saw in the 1980s, I saw the Christian counseling became one of the biggest destructions in the church because it was full of psychology. The only thing that could change Ed Gibson is Jesus. The grace of God and his ability working, I don't care how bright I get. I will never be smart enough to take the place of God in my life. I'm in a desperate need for God. I'm in a desperate need for God. I'm in more of a desperate need for Him today than I was last year or the year before or the year before. I realize more and more today how much I needed Him, how much I need Him working in my life. I can't do this without Him. I can't walk in. I can't anoint me to preach. I don't care how much I study. I don't care how much I go through. It's just no life to it. When I sit down looking the Word, if it's just me and I'm just trying to figure things out, I know it immediately. Years ago, I didn't. I used to try to figure stuff out. Now, hallelujah, I've learned. You yield to revelation. If the Holy Ghost ain't revealing, don't play games over and trying to figure something out. Go to whatever He's revealing. Go to whatever He's showing. Let Him give you some life in there. Hallelujah. That's why when I look at the Word, it's always life to me. Hallelujah. It's life. I'm not trying to figure it out. I got the figure out, or He lives in me. He's called the Holy Ghost. He's like having Jesus Christ Himself in me. He's just like Jesus. Glory to God. He takes what Jesus has and shows it to me. Glory. There's nothing more wonderful. I don't have to be the genius. I have the genius living in me. The genius moved in. Hallelujah. I can wake up in the morning and I'll tell you, if God ain't in the day, just stay in bed. Don't even bother getting out. That's right. Don't get out. God ain't in the day, it's going to be just you. And I know how that's going to turn out. I've had days where I left Him in the bedroom and I went and did my day and I was sorry the next day. I stayed in bed till He got up. When He was, I'm getting up with Him. I'm not getting up with me anymore. Hallelujah. I don't want to preach from a pulpit based on what I know about Scripture. If the anointing's not there, go home. It's the anointing to minister the Word. It's life. And the Word is life to you. These scriptures I'm giving, these words are God's life to you, folks. This is God's life. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I want to answer you guys' prayer. I've did all I did through my death, burial, and resurrection, through my reconciliation. I did all of this. So when you ask the Father for something, you get it. There's no maybes. There's no could bes. There's no... No, because we're going to go on. We're going to look at more scriptures. We're going to look at these scriptures where you become so convinced that I tell you what, you'd get mad if your prayer didn't get answered. You should be like that. You should be, what's going on? My prayer needs it. I'm going to stand. This is mine. I'm going to have it. I'm not going to let anything else take it to me. I don't care who comes along and preaches what. It belongs to me. I'm having it. It's the word of God. Jesus can't lie. You become so convinced. You become to the place where you're so assured. As John talked about having the confidence. Is your prayer life a place of confidence? Or is it the place you go to beg? We're going to talk about these, what the scripture says about those things. See, we need to know. Because see, many people, they're not going confidently. They're going begging. They have no confidence in the presence of God. God doesn't want you that way. God wants you to be so confident in His presence. He wants you to come knowing you're going to get what you ask for. He wants you to come like that. He wants you to walk in the door with a smile on your face. Say, Lord, you know the truck ran over me, but I'm getting healed completely. I'm here at the throne. I'm getting my answer to my prayer. That's what He's waiting for. He ain't waiting for you to crawl in and say, you know, Lord God, just make me feel better. I'll limp if I have to, but I'll just, you know. No, you come walking in the door and say, uh-uh, it's mine. I got it. It belongs to me. You gave it to me. You can't lie. I say that to God all the time. God, Your word says such and such, and You can't lie. If this wouldn't turn out, you'd be a liar. That's an impossibility. You can't lie. This has to take place. I'm not saying this for His benefit. I'm saying for mine. I want to know in His presence. I know He knows that I surely expect it to come to pass. I don't go to God whining about it. I don't have to go whining. He's already declared His purpose in my prayer. He wants glorified. Nobody ever glorified in a prayer they prayed that didn't work. God was never glorified. He's not glorified in people dying of cancer. God's never been glorified in anybody dying of cancer. There's no, is that glory? How many of us go, oh man, praise God, they're dead. Woohoo! Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? They died. Hallelujah. The Bible says death's an enemy. It's an enemy. Hallelujah. Let's live and let's go home. Let's be like Jesus. Jesus said, the devil has nothing in me. He don't take my life. I give my life. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I tell you, I preached long, but it was good, folks. You learn things in this. And that's what the Holy Ghost is teaching. Hallelujah. Because there's things we need to get around. Father, I want to thank You this morning. Lord God. Lord, I am just so thankful that You provided a way of simplicity. Lord God, we're not trying to find a way to get to You. We have been laid out the way before us under the authority of the name of Jesus. And Father, it is so simple, the fact that whatever we desire, Lord God, Lord, if we get Your promises and Your word in us, we can approach You and ask whatever we desire, whatever those promises grant, whichever one we want, whichever one thing that we want to take a hold of, it belongs to us. And I want to thank You, Lord God, for all that You provided in the reconciliation for each believer here today. Lord God, it's not for one or some. Lord God, surely we're all different levels of areas of our faith walking, but Lord God, Lord, the whole purpose You have me teaching is to bring everyone to a higher level, a stronger level, a place to walk which is greater. Lord God, the people that glorify You more and more by their walk of faith. Lord, they're trusting You. Hallelujah. And I thank You, Father God, Lord, You never put them to shame. Lord God, when a person steps out in faith where they can, no matter how it might seem, little at the time or much, but Lord God, the faith pleases You. Faith pleases You, and You're pleased with the people who step out to believe You and trust You, that take Your word and say, yes, it's true. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. I'm going to stand on what Your word says. Lord God, heaven smiles and grins. Heaven is happy. The angels rejoice. Hallelujah. Our God is glorified and magnified because He can bring His covenant to pass in the earth for His people. Hallelujah. Lord God, it's not words on a page, but it's actions, it's demonstrations, it's manifestations, Lord God, that take place. Lord God, heaven coming down. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And heaven will be loosed. Hell will be bound and glory will be revealed. Hallelujah. We thank You for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I thank You, Father God, today. Today, Lord God, there's a strength taking hold. There's a strength that's taking hold. Lord God, weakness is being broken in the name of Jesus. Weakness is falling aside. Unbelief is being shattered. Hallelujah. Unbelief is being broken. It's drying up and withering away. Hallelujah. Because the word of life has come in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The word of life has come and life is working. Lord God, Lord, I want to thank you. Lord, this year is the year of great change, Lord God. Lord, it's a great change, Lord God, in the church, and the people of faith, Lord God, are going to step out in faith this year, Lord God. There's a rising up, Lord God, that you'll be glorified. You're going to be magnified among your people. That your words will be demonstrated and revealed as true. Not just words spoken, but words revealed in the name of Jesus. Words that produce things and manifest things. Lord God, you will answer their prayers. They will rise to a great level this year, Lord God. Lord, they won't be bound with the things that have held them in the past. But Lord God, they're going to reach forth their hand to take a hold of those things that it seemed in the past seemed to slip away, but they will not slip away in this day. They will not slip because you have a plan and you have a purpose, Lord God, and your church will be glorified. Your church will be magnified. Hallelujah. And the glorious church is rising. Hallelujah. Stepping out, believing your word. Lord God, we will not back down. We're running a race. And Lord God, we're picking up speed. Lord God, we're picking up speed. We'll run this year better than last year. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're not going to breathe hard like we have. We're not going to be out of breath like we have been. We're running this place of faith, Lord God. We're gaining strength as we run. We're becoming strong, hallelujah, as we run in the name of Jesus. And we're running, as the scripture says, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus, you're going to take us right where we want to go. Hallelujah. We're right after you. Hallelujah. And what you said is true. Lord, we ask the Father anything in your name, he'll do it. Hallelujah. Jesus, we're just going to keep looking at you and our prayers will be answered. They will be every time. They'll be answered, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for answering our prayers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Our great desire, Lord God, is that you be glorified in our prayer life. We want to produce a prayer life, Lord God, that when men and women who don't know Jesus and ones who have been told wrong about Jesus will look at us and say, no, there's a real God. They know him. He does things for them. Let's find out what they know. Let's find out what they understand so we can come and take a hold too. And they will come. They'll come. They'll come. They'll come and they'll come. Hallelujah. When Christianity becomes a reality and it's not just words, it will become a reality. Hallelujah. That God has visited his people. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God visiting his people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's visiting us. He's visiting us today. Hallelujah. He's here today among us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For this is the time and a richness of the Spirit that you have stepped in and walked in these days. You've come to this. For my revelation is coming forth, and it shall be simple, it shall be easily understood, and easily known. For I have ordained it in this time for my people to come forth. I've ordained it in this day, for it seems that they've been held back much. Yes, but there's a people rising up and coming out in this day, and I have called them out. There is a remnant that is called out in this time, and I've called them forth to reveal my glory. Oh, and as the glory comes, many will join up to it. Many who have even sat back and watched, who are my children, who have not stepped in, they will step in these last days. They will come and walk because of what they see, the glory coming on those ones that I've chosen to come out, and I've called them out, and they will come out and walk and stand, and many will follow after. Yes, and even in the world. Oh, the true gospel will be preached. The words of God will be said in many. The walls of sin will be broken down, and they will come and jump and run into the kingdom, and they will join in and be so glad and rejoice in the God of glory who has saved and redeemed them. And they will come and follow and walk and ready themselves for my return, says Jesus, and I will come back, and I will have a glorious church. Oh, and there will be a great homecoming. There shall not be a few who leave. There shall many. There will be a great shaking in this earth. Yes, and that shaking will go forth, and the earth will tremble and shake, and whines and groans will go out forth through the universe because of the sin in the earth and what it's done and what it's held. But it cannot hold the glory of the church, for the glory of the church will come out. Yes, the glory of the church will come out, and they will be to myself, and they will be with me always, for I have ordained it and called it, says the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise His name. Praise His name. Praise His name. Braskipa frutefese in makaya noste de befreto fraskiske kakaya toshe shishiti from the garabelishele kiato shele kadishima manfaranda fred de gedege shile brakadoshene mamakaya. Don't let things stress you. Rejoice, says the Lord. Rejoice always and in all things. For when trouble comes, yes, and you have stood before me and proclaimed your will and your desire, then rejoice and praise me. Don't spend time walking over into other things and looking at other things and wondering what's happened. Get a smile on your face and start to rejoice. Be glad. Dance before me. Oh, it matters not whether you feel like it. It matters not whether you feel better or you're not. This is not about your feelings. It's about obeying the word of God. Rejoice, I say. Praise me and glorify me, and you will see many things come and take place that you've not seen before because you have not acted like the word's true. And I'm saying to you today, get an action on your words. Act like the word's truth and rejoice and be glad. Yes, and your rejoicing and gladness will bring swiftly the things that you have desired, that you've longly waited for. But it won't be far away when one rejoices and is glad. Hallelujah. For surely the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so kind to speak to us, to give us direction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for not just direction, but correction. Hallelujah. Lord God, we need that. We need that. Lord God, I know you don't correct us to hurt us. Hallelujah. You're trying to help us. And thank you. Thank you. You're not against us. You're for us. Hallelujah. For Lord, the word says, if you're for us, who could be against us? Lord God, we're counting you for us. So we're happy today. Lord God, we're not happy because of the tests and trials of life, but we're happy because you're on our side. Hallelujah. And we will overcome in the name of Jesus. We will overcome in every test and every trial of life. Hallelujah. Because you said there's nothing, there's no temptation that wouldn't come on us that you wouldn't provide a way out. Hallelujah. So Lord God, even before the test come, there's a way out. Hallelujah. You have provided, Lord God. And now we thank you. We declare that it's true in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to stop there. I will be honest with you. I could hook over in the Spirit right now and probably talk for hours of things out of the Spirit that the Spirit's saying. So you can get over and hooked into things, and it isn't specifically that all of it has to be said, but you can hook over into things of Spirit. You can get over there and you can catch things that God's saying, and you could just go on and on and on. But I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop where we're at right now. Hallelujah. We need to digest right now. You know, just digest what you got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God wants you to go home today glad and happy. God don't want you to go home. It doesn't matter. It's saying that no, you don't have problems. There's things you're not facing. Maybe you know you don't always know what everybody's facing. Some people can be facing tough stuff. But don't go home sad. God's on your side. Hallelujah. His desire is to answer your prayer. That's His great desire. You think you have a desire to get your prayer answered? You ain't even seen nothing. God came into the earth and became a man and died so we could get our prayers answered. You think He wanted a little bit more than us? Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's in the prayer answering business, and He'll answer yours. Father, we just thank you. As we depart today, we depart by faith in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord God, as we go out this week. Lord God, we're going to just put together the things and begin to act them out. And Lord God, I want to thank you, Father God, for fruitful prayer lives. In Jesus' name, amen.